What? What? No. If anything, there are opinions that say the Mohel himself doesn't say, but the Olam says, that's for sure. Okay, last time yesterday we were learning about not sleeping alone at night in a house unless if there's a light, about putting stuff under the bed because there's a Ruach Ra. We learned also about not eating peeled eggs, garlic, or onions that are just plain peeled by themselves with nothing added to it. You shouldn't eat it. Okay, now there's another thing. The Gemara says all human sweat is poison except the sweat of the face. So therefore it says in Halacha, for instance, you shouldn't put food under your armpit because the sweat underneath the armpit or any other part of the body that sweats would be actually poison and you're not allowed to do that. It says also, for instance, you're not allowed to put money in your mouth. Why shouldn't you put... The halacha says, I mean, the doctors will tell you the same thing. Now, why aren't you allowed to put money in your mouth? Because everybody touches it. You don't know what diseases they have or what infections they have or what flus or COVID or whatever they have. So therefore, you're not supposed to put it into your mouth.
We know this 3,000 years ago.
Huh? Halacha said this 3,000 years ago. Yes. No, really. The Rambam brings it down. I mean, it's from before the Rambam yet also. Okay, now it's a very interesting din. A man, people are not careful in it, but people are supposed to be careful in it. A man is not allowed to walk between two women. A woman is not allowed to walk between two men. You're not allowed to walk between two dogs. You're not allowed to walk between two palm trees if they're next to each other. Some opinions say even you're not allowed to walk between two pigs and you're not allowed to walk between two snakes.
Palm trees?
If they're right next to each other, you don't walk between them. You walk around them. Because of Ruach Ra. That means there's an evil spirit and such things. But it's the same. A man cannot walk between two women and women cannot walk between two men. So therefore, but this doesn't apply, Paskim right, it doesn't apply like family. In other words, brothers, sisters, husbands, wife, children, grandchildren, that the din doesn't apply. And you like a father could walk in between his wife and daughter, let's say, or granddaughter, or whatever it is. It's not a thing. But otherwise, it says in Shchunach, everybody brings it down. That your kids brings it, everybody brings it down. That you're not allowed to walk a man between two women, or two women, a woman between two men. And sometimes it's a problem. You have a function and there's women all over the place, you gotta get through. It's not so easy. Also, okay,
you should. Hold
what?
If you hold something in your hand.
It's not real a
heter.
It's not a real heter.
If you have to, what
you have to, you close your eyes and do it.
Hold up your tzitzit or something? What? Have to do what? I didn't get
it. Get another man with you to walk through. Okay. Another interesting thing is you're not allowed to stand in front of women when they come back from a funeral. It says, it's a gemara in brachas. Also, you're not allowed to stand in front of women at the time. Why? Because the Malach HaMavis is dancing in front of them. So he says, and it goes up and down, whatever. So he says, you shouldn't meet them face to face. You shouldn't meet a woman coming back from a funeral face to face. You should go either in front of them, behind them, go a different way. Also because, and this is, again, it's a din in Shulchan Aruch that it's a problem. Okay, next is...
What if it's the other? You can't ignore them? They come, how do you do it?
So, when they walk by to make the shura, you know, and you say, I'm okay, Menachem, that you could do. But this is when, that's still part of the funeral. We're talking about when they're coming back from the funeral, then you shouldn't be looking in their face. Another halacha that has to do with sakana is you're not allowed to stand in a river. There's a current in the river if it's above your waist. If the water is above your waist, you're not allowed to stand in a river with the current. Why? You may get swept away with the current. And it's again, a din of sakon. You're not supposed to cut meat. It's an interesting din. You're not allowed to cut meat on your hand. That means you can't hold the meat in your hand and cut it. Why? You'll cut yourself. I mean, that's what it says. You shouldn't clean your teeth with a piece of a pipe. Again, there's all portion things you can with things of a pipe because it's portion dangerous. Yeah, it's portion dangerous because it can hurt you. In other words, again, this is back to the beginning of the siman. You're not allowed to do anything halachically that could even remotely cause a person danger. And we said many times, the Gemara says an expression, chamura sakanta mi'isura. Something which is dangerous is even stricter than treifin kosher. I give you an example. Meat and milk become nullified 1 in 60. There are many opinions that say fish and meat, because it's sakana, many opinions in Shulchan Aruch say it's never been nullified. If some fish fell into meat, no matter how much meat you have against the fish, you're not allowed to eat it because sakon is even stricter than treif and kosher. The pearl that halacha is that it is batul b'shish, but there are many strong opinions that say sakon, danger, is more serious than something kosher and treif, so you have to be more careful with that. Another thing it says, you're not allowed to verbally articulate punishment on another Jew. Because there's a covenant, as it says in the Gemara, the expression, "Bris krusalus fasayim." There's a covenant that Hashem made with the lips that there is something that we know, the famous Hayyim Yayim, that the Baal Shem Tov heard, the Rebbe brings it down, Hayyim Yayim. The Baal Shem Tov overheard two chassidim fighting, and he heard the way one says to the next, "I'll rip you apart like a fish." And Baal Shem Tov told his students to sit down. He used to sit down like a ches. Whenever the Baal Shem Tov wanted to show him a vision, they sang a niggun. He told them all to hold hands, you know, on the shoulders. And in the middle of the niggun, the Baal Shem Tov put his two hands on the students next to him, closing the circuit, and he would show them visions. So after the guy said, "I'm going to rip you apart like a fish," the Baal Shem Tov said to his students, "Okay, let's do this thing." And they went, he showed them a vision. They sang a niggun, they showed him a vision. And they actually saw the way the guy was literally ripping the other guy apart like a fish. And they all shrieked. Baal Shem Tov took off his hands, broke the circuit, and he explained to them. And it's very logical, by the way. It says, there's a world of action, there's a world of speech, there's a world of thought. This world is an action world. So if I say I'm going to kill you, in the world of action, it didn't do anything. But in the world of speech, which is a world by itself, in the world of speech, you killed them. If I think I'm going to, God forbid, kill somebody, in the world of thought, I killed them. Now, actually, this is a physical world, so you can't get punished. You can't, you know, whatever. You didn't kill them. But spiritually, in thought, you killed them. And in speech, you killed them. Therefore, it says a person has to be extremely, extremely careful when it comes to speech. And he says, therefore, Shulchan Aruch says, you're not allowed to threaten a child. Parents should not threaten a child that a cat is going to take you away, a dog is going to eat you up, or this, or that. You know, you don't say it's scary because there's an expression in Chazal, al tiftach peh l'satan. You don't open your mouth to the satan. You don't help the satan do things which are dangerous. You shouldn't do it. Okay. Now, just like a person is obligated, and by the way, based on this, I just want to mention other things. A person, halachically, is not allowed to damage themselves. Contrary to the abortion rights, contrary to a lot of people in the world, we do not own ourselves. We are on loan from Hashem for 120 years. We do not own ourselves. Therefore, halachically, it is biblically forbidden for a person to hurt themselves. You can't just take a razor and cut yourself. It's biblically forbidden to do that. In fact, there's an interesting shayla that Moshe finds as a whole tshuva, if you're allowed to donate blood. Oh. Because you're taking, you damage, you know, you're pulling out blood, you damage, you're weakening yourself. He writes that you're allowed to because it's minimal weakening and the accomplishment is great. You know, you can help save somebody's life. But stamazay to take out blood and to, you know, do things like that is forbidden. And because of that, not all elective surgeries are allowed to be done. For instance, cosmetic surgery is a big shayla in halacha if it's allowed to be done. Nose jobs, this job, that job.
Even for women, if it's bisexual.
The question, I didn't say it's forbidden. I said it's a question in halacha if they're allowed to do it. And you have to know why they want to do it, what the risk of doing it is. For instance, there's a letter from the Rebbe. First they printed it the wrong way, and then it was corrected. But somebody asked the Rebbe about girls piercing ears. You're damaging yourself. You're hurting yourself. You're piercing an ear. So initially, when the letter came out the first time, they said, the Rebbe said, you can't. But that wasn't true. It was wrong. The Rebbe said you're allowed to. Why? Because the enjoyment and satisfaction of the earring outweighs by far, and it's not a dangerous situation. It's a very complicated discussion. Aloha. What happened, God forbid, somebody's in a terrible car crash. Okay, especially, or a man, it doesn't matter. And they're afraid they're not going to get married because they got all messed up cosmetically. So then you would be allowed to do it because there's a possibility of suicide. You know, if they're not going to be able to get married and then get so depressed, it might come to... But again, really, anytime somebody wants to do cosmetic surgery, they really need to ask a shayla if they're allowed to do that particular surgery. Also, you have to ask a shayla if it's going to help. Most of the time, it might not even help anyway. All you do is spend money. But you make it worse. But though, all these things are part of the halacha that a person is forbidden to do any damage to themselves. And the reason for that is because it's not our bodies. You know, the abortion rights people say, it's our body, we can do with it whatever I want. It's not true. Our bodies don't belong to us. A body belongs to Hashem. And a fetus for sure doesn't belong to us. We don't own our children. A fetus, just destroying it, that's why it's against Allah.
Can someone say, well, my wife demands of me to augment that part of my body?
So shayla has to be asked. Again, everything has to be taken into consideration. Number one, the risk involved. Some cosmetic surgeries are more risky than others. Okay, whatever. Some are more complicated. They're more complicated, they could be more serious. They have to know the way all the issues, and then the Rav would have to decide halachically, based on halacha, if they would be allowed to do it or not be allowed to do it. But let's say a guy is married already, or a woman is married already. Yeah? And they don't like the nose. Yeah, I just want to do a nose job. Halachically, it's not so simple. You know, they're married already. What are you afraid? The guy's going to divorce you because your nose grew? I mean, what are you afraid of? Again, everything, if the woman is so and they're suicidal, then the different conditions are involved. So then you have to know what halach is.
Suicide is forbidden anyway.
Huh?
Suicide is forbidden anyway, so they can't commit suicide.
Yeah, it's forbidden. For most people.
Yeah. How about even certain surgeries, they need to have a letter from the psychiatrist, let's say, that they need it because not from the right reasons.
Right.
They need a letter.
What I'm saying, according to Torah, yeah. Cosmetic surgery basically is damaging your body, and you have to know, weigh all the issues involved. The medical issues, the psychological issues, the emotional issues with the halach and the risks.